Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أفعينا بالخلق الأول بل هم في لبس من خلق جديد ولقد خلقنا الإنسان ونعلم ما توسوس به نفسه ونحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد ونحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in these two verses, were we then fatigued by the first creation, meaning the creation of the human beings? But rather they are in doubt from a new creation. They doubt the resurrection. Verily we have created the human being, and we know what his self whispers with. We are closer to him than his own jugular vein, his life vein. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being. Allah understands the human being intimately. Allah is very close to the human being. Allah knows exactly what the selves they whisper with. And since the creation of Adam alayhi salam, to the time of the Messenger of Allah, and throughout all of history, to our present day and into the future and beyond, the human being is the same creation that Allah first created. This is the same human being that Allah understands and knows better than he knows himself and better than anyone understands him. Because Allah is his creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah created this human being with certain organic needs. This human being gets tired, he becomes fatigued, he needs to answer the call of nature. And also Allah created certain instincts in this human being. Allah created the survival instinct, where the human being feels that he has to survive, he needs to clothe himself, he needs to protect himself, he needs to live under a roof, he needs to continue his offspring, he needs to own things, possession. And everything that stems from that survival instinct. Allah created the human being with the procreation instinct. The human being seeks, whether male or female, they seek a mate. They seek a companion. They seek love, compassion. They seek children and all the other emotions that stem from this procreation instinct. And Allah created the instinct of reverence in the human being. The human being finds himself weak. This is an innate feeling inside the human being. That he is weak, that he's in need of something greater than himself, that he's to look up to something greater than him. And this is what leads him to the realization that there is a creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. These core organic needs, these core survival, these core instincts, they are the same instincts that Allah created Adam with. They are the same instincts that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his generation had, and they are the same instincts that we too feel, and this it is, and beyond into the future any all the human beings that come afterwards, they will always have these organic needs and these same instincts. All that has changed, because sometimes we'll hear a lot of talk by academics and others that we are more complicated, we are more sophisticated in our interactions, in our makeup of our societies. This is all baseless. The human being is the same human being. He has not changed. He has not evolved over the years. All that has changed are the means. Before, human beings had to work very hard in order to go out and find food. And now, that food comes straight to your house. It is in your fridges. It even comes prepared, nice and hot, ready for you to devour and eat. Before, human beings, when it comes, for example, to answer the call of nature, it was a big struggle. You had to go outside and find a private place and so on and so forth. Now it is in the comfort of your own home to perform this need. Transportation, before human beings had to walk on foot. Then they started using horses, camels, horse-drawn carts. Then we evolved until we had the steam engine. And now we have more sophisticated forms of transport. We have aeroplanes and spaceships and submarines and Allahu A'lam what they will invent in the future. We can go on giving these examples, but the point is that all that has changed are the means, the technological aspects. But that human being, that first human being, Adam alayhi salam, he got hungry and he needed to eat. We too get hungry, we too need to eat. Adam alayhi salam needed to clothe himself and we too need to clothe ourselves. Adam alayhi salam had to shelter himself. And we too feel that we need to shelter ourselves and so on and so forth. It is the exact same human being that Allah first created and we have not changed at all. That is why the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the legislation of Allah is just as relevant today as it was at the time of the Messenger of Allah and as it shall continue to be into the future and beyond until the Day of Judgment occurs. Because it is the same human being, because as Allah subhanahu said, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ. We have created the human being and we know what his soul whispers with. Allah knows the human being. Allah knows what you're thinking about, what you're planning, what you will do even before you know yourself. So who then better than Allah to legislate for you and to guide you, subhanahu wa ta'ala? The book of Allah is relevant because the human being has not changed and the legislation of Allah came to deal and satisfy these organic needs and these instincts that Allah has created in the human being. Since they never changed, therefore the legislation of Allah will never change. Therefore it is always appropriate even though it was revealed 1,400 years ago. It is just as useful and appropriate in our time as it was at the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Quran is first and foremost a book of guidance. It guides the human being. It gives us solutions. It shows us problems and shows us how to deal with them. It describes the reality for us. The book of Allah is a book of guidance for the human beings on how to lead their lives, how to run their activities. And inshallah, we'll look at a few verses just to highlight the relevance of the Quran. To highlight that it is through the Quran we must seek answers to our reality. That Allah describes the reality for us and then gives us solution for this reality that we face. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَاهُ وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَةً فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ.
وقالوا ما هي إلا حياتنا الدنيا نموت ونحيا نموت ونحيا وما يهلكنا إلا الدهر وما لهم به من علم إن هم إلا يظنون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you not see the one that takes his own inclinations, his desire as his God? And Allah caused him to stray with knowledge. And Allah sealed his hearing, his heart, and Allah placed a covering upon his sight. So who then after Allah can guide him? أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ Do you not remember? And when we look into our reality today, we find it is exactly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it for us. Do we not see those that take their own inclinations, their own desires as their lords besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Here in Australia, in this very country that we live in, do we not find that people elect men and women on their behalf and they sit in parliament and they legislate for them according to what? According to their own whims, inclinations and desires, whatever they perceive to be of benefit and to allow, they allow it. If they want to prohibit something, then they prohibit it. Is the law here according to the dictates of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is it according to man-made legislation, man-made desires, the inclinations of a few who sit in parliament and tell the rest of us what we should do? This is the reality that we face. This is exactly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to say, and they said, it is nothing except this worldly life. We live and we die. And nothing destroys us except time. Allah says, but they do not have any knowledge of this. It is only conjecture, they only guess. A few weeks ago, there was a lecture, and a world famous atheist and scientist debated one of our brothers. His name was Dr. Krauss. And he was asked during the question and answer time, what happens to us after we die? He said, nothing. You just did. You just die and it's over with. And how many times do we hear this? We only have this worldly life. You will only live once. You have to take this opportunity, grasp it, do as much as you can, enjoy life, live life to its fullest, follow everything, all your wishes, write down a list and all the things of you want to do and accomplish them before you die, because once you die, you're dead, then you're finished, there is nothing else. Isn't this the reality that we face? And isn't this the reality that we live in? Where we find this constant barrage in the media, in the movies, that all we have is one life. Live your life to its utmost. Do everything you can to gain what you can from this life. It is exactly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it for us in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or he mentions the story of Qarun. And Qarun was from the people of Musa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed Qarun with a lot of wealth. Enormous wolf. And Qarun, he was so arrogant that he said, I have achieved this wealth all through my ability. It has nothing to do with anyone else. And his people, they warned him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues this story for us. He says, وَبِتَغِي فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ وَلَا تَبْغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ His people, they said to him, and seek with what you have the afterlife, but do not forget your portion of this world. And be good as Allah has done good to you. And do not seek corruption in the earth. Verily Allah does not like those who are corrupt. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing those that all they seek is this worldly life. They have great wealth, they hoard that wealth, they prevent it from people, they claim it is all through their own ability, they have no spiritual aspect to them, all that matters is this worldly life, there is no connection with the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala, but all that matters is their self and their self-betterment. And we see many of these people today. Many of these people. Just to give one example, Australia's richest woman, Gina Rinehart. She is worth, estimated to be worth about $10 billion, and that is continuously growing. Recently, she was in a court battle to prevent her children from a family trust that they had a right to. She has $10 billion, yet that is not enough for her, that even her own family, her own blood, her children, that she wants to prevent them also from the wealth that is rightfully theirs, that I think was left from their father or their grandfather. Are these not the people that Allah describes in the Quran with enormous wealth, only looking after themselves? They have no spiritual connection. There is no connection with the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. All that matters is the material and self-benefit, and that is all they chase and they seek. Neither connection matters. Not society, not those around them, not children, not parents. It is only me, and mine. It is exactly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْأَحْبَارِ وَالرُّهْبَانِ لَيَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَيَصُدُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ والذين يكنزون الذهب والفضة ولا ينفقونها في سبيل الله فبشرهم بعذاب أليم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that at the time of the Prophet, those in leadership and power were the priests and the rabbis and the monks. They were the ones that controlled the people. They were the ones that had the wealth. Allah says, O you who believe, verily most of the priests and the rabbis, they take the wealth of the people through illegitimate means, and they prevent people from the path of Allah. And those who hold the gold and the silver, and they do not spend it for the sake of Allah, then give them glad tidings of a grievous punishment. In those times, it was the rabbis and the priests that hoarded the wealth of the people and took the wealth of the people through illegitimate means. But now the reality is different. We have this capitalist class, a small percentage of the society that control the industry, that control production, that control the media, that control the resources and the minerals that are taken out of the earth. A small percentage of the society, but they had grasped in their hands enormous wealth. In those days, it was the rabbis and the priests, but now it's Gina Rinehart, Clive Palmer, and like them. We've heard, and we all know that, and we're always reminded, constantly and bombarded, that we are going through tough times. Global financial crisis has really stricken, really affected everyone, and we must really do it hard. There just isn't enough money like there was before. But the banks and the mining industry, they are making record profits, billions of dollars, when we're supposed to be going through hardship. There's supposed to be tough times. Yet those that are rich and powerful, just like the rabbis and the monks at their time, and now it is this small percentage that runs and controls the wealth of the people, they are making record profits and they are hoarding that wealth, and they are preventing the rest of society and preventing the average man from that wealth. Or the average man lives in debt. His house is under debt. His car is under debt. All his belongings under debt. He even buys his food through debt. Yet that small percentage are making record profits. They're living on a different planet. To them, there's no such thing as a global financial crisis. To them, it's an economic boom. This is exactly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it for us. This is the reality that we live in. And it is expected that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will describe it for us, because Allah has created the human being. Allah knows what the human being is like. And every time and every age, the faces may change, but kufr is kufr, and the leaders of kufr are the same, and their actions are always the same. They do not change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ لِيَصُدُّوا عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا ثُمَّ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسْرَةً ثُمَّ يُغْلَبُونَ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ يُحْشَرُونَ. Allah says that those that disbelieve, they spend their wealth to prevent people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they should spend that wealth and it should become a humiliation upon them, and then they should be defeated. And those that disbelieve, they should be gathered to the hellfire. We look at our reality today, whether it is people you talk to, whether it is at work, on the TV, the internet, the newspapers, the magazines, the global media, there is a constant barrage against Islam and the Muslims. Millions and billions of dollars are spent politically, militarily, culturally to change and affect and destroy the Muslims and Islam. And this is a reality. We see this occurring around us. We see the thousands upon thousands that have died in Afghanistan, that have died in Iraq, they have died in many other parts of the Muslim lands. We see the constant attacks through the media, questioning the hijab, questioning the niqab, questioning the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Millions and billions are spent to fight the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they should spend it, but then it should be a humiliation upon them and they should be defeated, inshallah. But this is the reality. Again, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing the reality for us. Allah says things as they are, and this is how they are. This is how we find them. So the Quran is a book of guidance. It describes kufr for us in every single age. It describes the nature of that kufr, how that kufr works against the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It describes the clash, the battle between Islam and kufr. So Allah describes the reality of kufr for us, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes and commands our reaction to this reality, our reaction to kufr, how we should adhere to his deen subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ وَإِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ لَيُوحُونَ إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِمْ لِيُجَادِلُوكُمْ وَإِنْ أَطَعْتُمُوهُمْ إِنَّكُمْ لَمُشْرِكُونَ. This verse was revealed during the Meccan period when the Messenger of Allah was in a struggle with Quraysh. And just like our reality, how we find there's a great onslaught against Islam and the Muslims, and so too the Messenger of Allah, his companions, they face this onslaught from Quraysh, the leaders of Kufr, against them and against the deen of Allah. And Allah revealed a commandment that something that is not, that is slaughtered but without the mention of the name of Allah, then it should not be eating from. It is fisq, it is corruption. Allah says the shayateen, they reveal to each other so that they can argue against you. Allah says, and if you obey them, and if you follow them, إِنَّكُمْ لَمُشْرِكُونَ. Very clear words. If you follow and obey them, you are polytheists. You have associated partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Muslims, the companions of Allah anhum, they were faced with the commandment of Allah to implement that command. And there was great pressure against them that why are you eating from this food? What is the difference? If we kill the food, or if the food is killed with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's the difference? Enormous pressure upon them to go away from the command of Allah and to follow the people of Quraysh. Allah said that if you succumb to this pressure, as we find now in our age, we are intimidated. There is wealth, great wealth being spent. Everywhere we look, everywhere we turn, we're under constant pressure as Muslims. Why are you wearing the hijab? Why do you want to eat halal meat? Are you trying to transform Australian society into an Islamic society? What values do you adhere to? Where do your allegiances lie? Constant questions, a constant barrage. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if we relinquish his deen, if we relinquish his command, if we relinquish the hijab, if we relinquish the halal food, if we relinquish our prayer of Allah, our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are polytheists. If we leave the deen of Allah and abide with the legislation and the commandments of other than Allah, then we are polytheists. We have associated partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we have left the commandments of Allah and we have strayed to the commandments of human beings instead of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is telling us our reaction. Allah is guiding us through these tough times, through this severe affliction, this severe hardship and test that the Muslims are facing. But do not fear. The companions faced the same tests. They were faced with the same situations, but they received the commands of Allah. And those commands are the same commands that we must adhere to. You must stand firm upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not be intimidated by kufr. Do not relinquish the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Would you relinquish the commands of your Creator and follow the commands of those that follow their own inclinations and take them as their Lord? If we do this, then we are polytheists and we have associated partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِي اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. Allah says, O you who believe, whoever of you turns away from his religion, then certainly Allah will bring about a new generation. They are humble and weak before the believers. They are strong and firm before the disbelievers. They fight for the sake of Allah, and they do not fear the blame of the blamers. A clear commandment and clear instruction and guidance for the believers from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are faced with kufr. You are faced with intimidation. You are being pressured to stray from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, if we succumb to this pressure, if we stray from the deen of Allah, stray from His commandments, then certainly Allah will replace us with a new generation. That new generation will have the certain characteristics. They are weak and humble before the believers. They are strong before the disbelievers. They are strong in facing kufr, strong in standing up against oppression, strong against intimidation. They're not scared to say that this is kufr. They're not scared to oppose the kufr and to propagate their own views, to propagate Islam, propagate the truth. They fight for the sake of Allah and do not fear the blame of the blamers. They do not fear to say things as they are. And we could continue, and we can mention many verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides much guidance, whether it comes to legislation, whether it comes to economic policies, trade, transactions, marriage, whether it's regards to individuals facing tests in your lives, overcoming hardships. There are many, many verses and many lessons and many instructions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the point was to detail that the Quran is a book of guidance first and foremost. That in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described things for the believers. Allah has not created you and left you alone. Allah created you, then asked you to worship Him, but then gave you a guidance on how to worship Him. Through the Quran, Allah has described history as a battle between Islam and Kufr. Sometimes Kufr will dominate and sometimes Islam will dominate. But always Allah has given clear instructions, whether it is Kufr dominating, whether it is Islam is dominating, Allah has given us instructions on how to lead our lives. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Quran is first and foremost a book of guidance. That was its purpose when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers in Islam and my sisters in Islam, understand this point very clearly. You could have memorized the Quran. You could know the tafsir of the Quran. You could understand every single Arabic word in the Quran. You could propagate and distribute and decorate the Quran. But if you do not live by the guidance of the book of Allah and you do not take it as a guidance in your life, then you will enter hellfire. But if you only know a few verses, a few surah, chapters of the Quran, you're not well versed in the Quran. You have not memorized it. But if you take the Quran as your book of guidance, as your light on how to live your life, as a legislation, as an individual, as communities, as mankind, then you will enter Jannah. That is first and foremost the purpose of the Quran. It is a book of guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shows us, gives us the solutions, informs us of problems and gives us the solutions to those problems. So we need to ask ourselves this question. When I open up the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, open up a chapter that I want to read from, what am I expecting from the Quran? What do I seek out of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it just that I recite certain verses on certain days, certain surah, and certain times? What do I think that I have in my hands? What am I expecting to get from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What do I hope to achieve by understanding the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I looking for guidance? When I have a problem in my life, where do I go to first? Do I go to the book of Allah? Open the book of Allah? Look for the solution from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Learn about the reality? Learn how to face the reality? Learn about kufr and iman? Is this how we see the Quran? Is this what we hope to expect from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No one understands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this Quran as a guidance for mankind. In the book of Allah, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this human being, and we said that this human being never changes, he's the same creation as the creation of Adam alayhi salam, has the same needs and the same instincts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands him better than anyone else understands this human being. Therefore, the Quran is always relevant. It is always applicable. It is always useful. At the time of the Messenger of Allah, during our time and into the future, the book of Allah is always relevant. It is the light for humanity. It is the answer for the human beings. Whether you look at it on an individual level, communal level, whether it is societies, it is nations, as mankind, their only guidance is the book of Allah. And this is the purpose of the Quran, first and foremost, to guide the human being in this worldly life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
يا أيها الذين آمنوا استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم واعلموا أن الله يحول بين المرء وقلبه وَأَنَّهُ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ.
O you who believe, answer the call of Allah and His Messenger when they call you to that which gives you life. And know that Allah comes between the man and his heart, and that to Allah you should be gathered. Answer the call of Allah and His Messenger when they call you to that which gives you life. Your life is the Quran. Your purpose is the Quran. Your guidance is in the Quran. Your cure is in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So understand that of course the Quran is always relevant. That of course the Quran is always useful today, tomorrow, and into the future. Mankind has no other guidance except for the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So brothers and sisters in Islam, when you look to the Quran from now on, I hope you view it in a new light. I hope you understand its purpose. I hope you understand what you accomplish and what you learn from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about IslamPodcast.com.